In 2 Peter, I keep on saying 1 Peter, 2 Peter, we're looking at in chapter 1, if you'd like to find the spot there. And last week we were looking at an entrance being ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. A wonderful thought, ending well, having an abundant entrance. Will yours, will mine be an abundant entrance? Depends on how we run, doesn't it? If we run at all, if we started well and run well, and then we'll have an abundant entrance. And we can think, and we thought of people last week in the book of Hebrews that did run well, and in the let us's of that portion of scripture, those portions of scripture in Hebrews, and others that throughout scripture we know that run well. And I've written down here, we didn't get to the asterisks I had here. Like at the awards day at an event, there's a glorious welcome awaiting those that run well. We've seen probably those walking races where they're supposed to walk and not run. And they're coming toward the end and they get into the stadium and they've walked well all the way, you know, for kilometres and kilometres. That looks like they're running sort of, but taking big strides, and they break into a bit of a run and they're disqualified. And it's terrible, isn't it? You just feel for them so bad. They've messed up. And it happens to Christians. They mess up on the last home run, in the arena, almost. Some mess up in midlife, some mess up early. But the awards day will be worth keeping the pace. And a glorious welcome will be there for those that run well. Roll out the red carpet. What have we done for the Lord? What will the Lord do for you on that day? Have you ministered unto him? He will minister unto you in that grand and glorious day. Invest in the world to come, as it says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the verses we know well, there lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does rust, you know, rots it. Thieves break through and steal. Let us lay up treasures in heaven. They can't get to it there, can they? And I've got down here, remember Caleb and all his contemporaries, save Joshua, who all died. They couldn't get into the promised land. Some picture that as heaven. But those two, Joshua and Caleb, did, because they run well. They did the right thing. And what did Caleb say when he got there into the promised land? Can you remember what he said after the fight was on and he was toward the end of the fight? What did he say? What did he say to Joshua? I want that. We used to sing it. I want that mountain. I want that mountain, Joshua 14, verse 8 particularly, and through to 12. There's still giants there. But he was as young as he was. He said, I'm just as fit as I was back then. I want that mountain. And an arduous job, that mountain. An old man. Tedious. But he wanted that mountain. And he had to watch all his contemporaries die. But he still was looking forward to that wonderful grand entrance into the promised land. And as we survey our life now, as we look back, and as we look forward with anticipation, are we looking forward with anticipation, or are we looking forward with a bit of dread, a fear, because there won't be an abundant entrance? Expect great things from God, do great things for God. Who said that? Can you remember? Missionary? William Carey said that. Now, we've looked at, be sure of your salvation, be settled in your Saviour, as verse 10 and 11 and verse 12, be sustained by the scriptures. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, Peter said, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that to maintain this race and to enter heaven, to have an abundant entrance, we need to be guided to that city by the word of God. And Lord, you've not left us without a guidebook, and it's full and overflowing with things to direct our pathway, a light to our path always. And I pray that we might be taking heed to it, we might be reading your word, understanding it, applying it to our lives, regular, daily basis, Lord, because if we go by the wrong book, the wrong guide, we will not even get into heaven, Lord. We will certainly not get the rewards if we are on our way to heaven, if we do it our way. But we must go by your word. If we love you, we will keep your commandments. Bless as we look in your word tonight. Help us to think about these things and to meditate upon them. For we ask and pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sustained by the scriptures. Remember back at school, you may not be able to remember back there, but when you remembered the times table, what did you have to do to get them up here?
Over and over and over.
Over and over and over. Over and over. Yeah. Until they were, we call it drilling, didn't we, Mrs. Dunn? I don't know. Drilling it, drilling. It felt like drilling. Over and over and over. Gracie, do you know your times table? Good. I won't ask you them right now. But we drill them in, drill them in. You know what we have to do with the scriptures? We have to drill them. Drill them in. I remember the Greek alphabet, drill it in. Greek verb endings. I wished I kept drilling them. I drilled them for 3 years. I had 22 miles to drill them on the way to Bible College and on the way home. And a little cards on top of the steering wheel. Drill them in, drill them in. Others didn't have that because they were in town. I had mostly country driving. Drilling in the verb endings. What does that one mean? What is that? And the verb endings and the alphabet. And Brother Langlands. Oh, I'll get him up there. Brother Langlands. How did you memorise the New Testament? By going over and over and over it. That's what you did, didn't you? I can hear you shouting from Cotoff Street. But drilling it, going over and over the verses, repetition. And so we need to do that with the scriptures, don't we? And the principles. And when we don't get the scripture, even drilling the scripture into our minds, we have to have it applied to our lives. And so what the Lord does, he drills it into us by experience. And so we've got something into our intellect, in our mind, but we need to get it in our life. And so the Lord brings us through an experience to apply that scripture to our lives. What did Peter say about telling them the same thing? Notice it. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. Remember these things. MLO. To make light of something. He won't neglect, he said. He won't neglect. He won't make light of this. Others said the same thing. They're not going to neglect. Paul urged Timothy not to neglect in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul said to Timothy, 2:14, of these things, Paul told him, put them, the people, in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And so doctrine is important. Teaching the truth is important. Teach the people. Don't neglect the teaching of the truth, and don't neglect that gift you've got, Timothy, to do that for the people, that they might grow in the Lord, the older preacher said to the younger preacher. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, said this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And Peter said he's not going to neglect to do this. Paul said, don't neglect Timothy to do this. And the writer of Hebrews said, don't neglect our salvation. Keep on building on this and through the scriptures into your life the truths of God's word. The Lord said he would put us always in remembrance of these things through the Holy Spirit who would minister unto us in John 14, 26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He helps us to remember these things. You know, you're cruising along during your day and something will come to your mind. Usually a word, then a verse, and then the portion of Scripture will be enlightened to you. Who's doing that for us as Christians? The Holy Spirit has been given to us at salvation. And so the Lord's doing that for us. And you need to stop and think, well, what am I going through? What's happening right now? What might be just ahead? What has just happened in my day that maybe I need this verse applied? Because it doesn't happen chance. It's happening for a reason. Sustained by the scriptures as we walk through life. Peter remembered the Lord's words before the cock crowed. In Luke 22, verse 61. And when it crowed, he remembered. He should have remembered before it happened, because he'd already denied once. He had already denied twice. He should have stopped. Oh, no, stop. He said three times. That's after the third time. And then he went out and wept bitterly. Luke 22:61. What did Peter acknowledge back in our portion of Scripture? What did Peter acknowledge about his readers and the truths he was about to tell them? In the last part of verse 12, wherefore I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth. He said, they know these things. They might have been taught these things. They didn't have Sunday school necessarily in those days. They might have had a teaching system in the places they met, but they've been taught them. They might not have been taught them by Peter either. They might have been taught them by James. They might have been taught them by Paul. They might have been taught them by other people that administered to them. Like we said, when was it? Sunday night. Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, though you've got 10,000 instructors in Christ, they might have been taught them by parents, by uncles and aunts that have become Christians. We all have teachers of many and varied sorts that teach us on the way through life, brothers and sisters, and that teach us on the way. And that's what I meant when I said it's, you know, parents to just say, I'm the only teacher in your life, narrowing it down just to them, and we don't know a whole lot on our individual own, you know. There's a broader spectrum of people. Hey, let's further that thought. God, in his word, when a person gets saved, gifts people, does he not? He gives people gifts. That's what it says in the Bible. And he gives them all sorts of gifts. And so if you say, as a parent, you're the only one you're going to teach, you're the primary one for that early stage in life. But if you say the only one, you're denying what God has said. He gives lots of people with different gifts to teach and to evangelize and to minister to people in ways that you can't, because you haven't got that gift, or you can't do it like others can for them. So, yeah, we got 10,000 instructors in Christ. And so ye know them. You know these truths, Peter said, and others have helped you grow in the Lord, and we'd appreciate that. We picked up things. And when you hear somebody saying something that you've said and they say the Lord taught them, that's good. You don't just say, no, I taught you. No, the Lord used you to teach them, and praise God that they got it. Or someone else backed up what you said and they picked it up from them, not you. Praise the Lord, they grew. Recognise that others have that input. Hearing the same thing from someone else reinforces the truth taught, doesn't it? And so Peter sustained, be sustained by the scriptures as you go through your life. Don't neglect the word of God. Does it say that in other portions of the Bible? Yeah. Paul said it, you know, in Timothy there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For what?
Doctrine,
reproof, correction and instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given for that. Old Testament and New Testament. So many examples from the Old. So many ways to do it and not to do it. And the New Testament. They can't write about us because the canon is complete. Aren't you glad you're not Peter and being all written about and all the failures and things that you said and did wrong and blunders? But you're not forever recorded in Scripture. And Peter probably says, well, praise the Lord anyway. People learnt at my mistakes. What is it? What do we say? A wise man learns at other men's mistakes. A fool learns at his own. But we can learn at their mistakes. Peter's legacy for them, chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this body. It's easy to know what he meant there. To stir you up by putting you in, again, remembrance. Peter's underlying determination. I think it meet means to be righteous, to do what is right. I think it's meet. It's right. It's righteous to do this. Even in the face of fierce persecution, don't trade truth for a measure of safety. Peter had tried that and knew firsthand the anguish it brought. And we could ask, what was Peter going to do? Put them in remembrance. Hypomnesis, a reminder, like we've just been saying. Amnesis, I can't pronounce that Greek word properly, but it's related to amnesia, a loss of memory, a loss of recall. Have you ever been knocked out? When you come to, can you remember when you came to? I remember when I come to. I lie to my bed, and what are you all around here for? What are you all looking at me like that for? I don't know how old I was. I must have been about 13 or 14. And then I looked and saw the doctor there too. I knew him. Didn't like him. He always run at you with a needle. Whatever it was, he had a needle, a penicillin in his hand. It always fixed everything, he said. He was dreaded. But you come to and trying to think, what's happened? Why am I here? And so some Christians have got spiritual amnesia. They've been knocked out by something in life and they're waking up and they need to be told and they need to know the scriptures. A loss of memory, a loss of recall. And Peter, you're saying, I'm going to wake you up. You need to be assisted in your memory. And with amnesia, sometimes people come back quick, sometimes they come back slow. And in spiritual amnesia, it's a slow process sometimes to get people to see where they've gone wrong and why they are where they are. They don't, because sometimes it's pride that stops them saying, yeah, I did go wrong. They need their memory jogged. And they use pictures, they use other sorts, they use music and other things to bring people's memories back. And when you get older, you can use rosters to keep your memory going, right? An alarm to wake you up or whatever, to keep you on track. To stir them up is what it here, to waken, to arouse. We forget what we should remember and we remember what we should forget. That's our old sinful body, isn't it? Are there some things you remember that you should forget? The old sin nature. And the other way around, we forget what we should remember, like the bills or scripture. Why is that so? The old nature. The Holy Spirit jogs our memories for truth, as we mentioned before in John 14:26, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul said, finally, Philippians 3 verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it's safe, he said. For me to write these things, it's safe for you, for me, to jog your memory, to bring you back from spiritual amnesia. Beware of dogs. And you know he doesn't mean literal dogs, barking dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Beware of the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So beware of those who are going to take you down spiritually speaking, he said there. So he jogged their memory in this regard, and I think we need that too. And Paul repeated himself, the Lord repeated himself. The Lord told the disciples many times the same things, and it didn't seem to sink in. So Peter's legacy, something that he was going to leave for them to keep in mind, was this legacy to undergird them for the future. Peter's undying determination to leave that with them. And then Peter's undeniable decease in verse 14, he said, it's going to happen, I'm leaving you, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath shown me. Peter wasn't just repeating himself because he'd grown old, but he was leaving something behind. That's why he was repeating himself. So something that he would write would never die. They would have the written word. Men die, but God's word wasn't going to die, was it? Peter's undeniable decease, he was going to die. You know, there's something that Peter couldn't look forward to. When I was reading this and studying it up, and I thought, I think I might have let the cat out of the bag, I don't know if it's through an individual or two in one of the services. Perhaps something that Peter couldn't look forward to, that all other Christians could look forward to, because of this and because of what the Lord said, that Peter could say, yep, I'm out of here, I'm going to die. And something couldn't happen until Peter did die. That's right. The rapture couldn't happen until Peter died. It's interesting, isn't it? For what we believe, we say the rapture is imminent. The blessed hope is that it could happen at any time, the catching away. For he was destined to die. Let's read that before we close tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 21. Verse 18, where the Lord told Peter that this is going to happen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. You know, young man, full of energy and vitality. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. He's not going to have a choice in the matter. This spoke he, signifying of by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, who also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? That was the Lord's Supper, I mean the institution of that and the Last Supper, and John asked that question of the Lord. Others prompted him to ask that. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, he saw John, he said, Lord, what shall this man do? Maybe it was a touch of envy or jealousy, I don't know, in Peter's heart after the Lord said, you're going to die. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, it's interesting the Lord brought up his coming at the time he told this to Peter. He said this to Peter. Because it's a, you know, if he tarries till I come. Now, maybe at that early, in the early church, in between when Peter was told he was going to die until, you know, Peter died, they were setting dates. Maybe they were date setting. And this just stopped all that because they said, well, it's going to happen before John dies now. Not necessarily. And reading that between the lines and putting these verses together, you could think, well, the early church was expecting the Lord to come soon. Because in the next verse it says, then went this, here's this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto them, he shall not die, but he will, if he will tarry, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So the Lord straightened it out in that verse. If. He didn't say when he was going to come, but if he comes before he dies or not. This is the disciple whom testifieth of these things in John's gospel here. And we know that his testimony is true. And so Peter's undeniable decease, he was going to die before the Lord come. And Peter was admitting that in his second epistle later in his life. What had taken the fear out of death for Peter? Well, the Lord had been raised and the Lord had been with them. He denied the Lord three times before the clock crowed, but the resurrection of the Lord, the indwelling of the Spirit at Pentecost, he knew that there was life after death without a shadow of a doubt. He'd seen miracles. His hand had performed miracles through the Lord, and great things had happened. And he'd written scripture, and he'd had been inspired to write these things. His martyrdom was not far away, for he said in verse 14, shortly, I'm going to die, put off this tabernacle shortly, even as the Lord hath shown me, that we just read in John's Gospel, chapter 21. So, from looking at that, we could say the Lord's coming wasn't imminent until Peter died. And once he died, it wasn't depending on John dying, because the Lord clarified that in the verse back in John's Gospel. And shortly we must put off our bodies too, this tabernacle, because life is but a vapour. It's a shadow. It's like grass and a flower, like a tale that is told, and like a weaver's shuttle and a wind. It's only a tabernacle. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be put in the grave. And it will be dissolved. But we have the promise in 2 Corinthians 5 of a house from heaven. A house from heaven that shall never be dissolved. So that's a great promise. Here's some thoughts from Peter. Read the word. Make it part of your life, our life.